Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Wealth Advisor and Director of Client Experience for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94 between Highways 164 and Highway F in Ridgeview Corporate Park and in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building across from Winkies. We also serve clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. Visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today on the show is Robin Gullberg. She is the owner and founder of Beyond College Consulting. And Robin's here today to share with us a little bit about college consulting and that landscape and how it's changed. So Robin, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Yes, my name is Robin Gullberg, and I'm an independent college counselor with Beyond College Consulting Group. I would like to talk today about how I got started in this industry. This industry is one that is much needed in our community with how vastly our college landscape is changing. It used to be that everybody applied, most likely could get in, could kind of develop their college list with reach schools to quote-unquote safety schools. Unfortunately, things have changed and mostly have changed since 2020 after our pandemic. How I got started in this industry was my passion for finding the right fit for high school students to be successful in their college experience. And when I say fit, I'm saying the financial fit, academic fit, and social fit. I have three children of my own, twins that are now 25, that went to University of Georgia and Indiana University, and I have a current junior at Miami University in Oxford, Ohio. I found the journeys of all three kids very differently. Not only is all my three kids different in their personalities, their journeys, but how what school would fit them the most. I ended up with the twins not ever taking them on the same college visit. So that ended up to be about 23 college tours. Now, I would not suggest that, but I would tell you that gives you a lot of education in what's out there and to kind of compare for each student. That got me started. When we moved here to Wisconsin 6 years ago, I found my passion just increased. When my daughter, being in the public school system and experiencing the 504 plan because of academics being really difficult for her, I knew the right school for her to be successful needed to take a lot of time and research. Today, she is very successful on the president's dean list. Just got a phone call from her last spring that said, "Mom, how did I become so smart?" And I chuckled and I thought to myself, she really didn't. It was the idea of the right fit of school for her with the type of services through the Center of Disabilities that was able to make her be successful in her college experience.
You know, Robin, just hearing you say that, the college landscape sounds like it really has changed, because I remember my college application process and the things you mentioned. I don't think I even took into consideration of the social fit. There was obviously the academic piece of getting in there and making sure that they offered majors in what I was looking to study. But it was kind of one of these things in southeastern Wisconsin, you apply to Madison, that's where you go. And so hearing you talk about these different avenues now of figuring out where kids have the best chance to be successful is huge. You know, when I look at my three kids, my oldest is 14. So we're just kind of getting to that place where we're starting to think about school. And we have always felt that a traditional college experience, he was going to have a very difficult time with. So I love hearing, you know, this story about your daughter and how successful she's been on the dean's list. That's amazing. I bet that went really far with just building her confidence.
Exactly. You know, you have a lot of students that just aren't your academic, follow the traditional path. And maybe they're more into the arts. Maybe they're more into more the sports. What is it that the child identifies with that makes them their own? What is their own story? What I like to do is I sit with a student and really my passion is finding out that student's story and what makes them them and how we can develop that as they grow into young adults. So when you do say the fit socially, when you look at a student that maybe is more introverted, maybe likes the smaller social groups, maybe is in a one-to-one environment, a Madison environment might be very tough for them being so big and trying to find their place. So to directing them of where the right path for them and making it okay. What I found the last 2 years that really got me passionate in the field is so many students would apply to the schools are hearing as the water cooler talk, as you say. You know, everybody, you know, maybe in that locally, where is the new school of choice today? It can be because of the football team's done real good in the last year, and that's making a certain SEC school really hot right now to apply to. Or it could be because grandpa, mom and dad, oldest sibling went to that particular university, so that means I need to go. But is that university the right for them? So then all of a sudden, the admissions comes, the decision, and it could be a rejection letter. And so instead of feeling like maybe that wasn't the right school fit, they feel the low self-esteem and the, everything that they're experiencing and more of a mental health issue, then really that wasn't the right one for you. What we want to do is we really want to get students to be successful. That's the bottom line. We want them to graduate. We want them to go search their dreams and out in the real world. And so when they're planning for a high schooler, and no matter if you get a high schooler, let's say as a freshman, incoming rising freshman or rising junior, senior, they still are waffling. They don't really know what they want. I have so many boys right now to say, I want engineering. And I'll ask them, okay, what does that entail? What is an engineer? Where are you going to work? What kind of job description is that? And they're unable to tell me. And I think that is because they're just hearing what they should be saying or should be going into versus are we really looking at that person and what their strengths and weaknesses would be to make them successful in their career force.
Absolutely. You know, funny enough, this past weekend, we were playing the game of life with my two youngest children. Do you remember that game?
Oh, yes.
So they made a new version. It's shortened. It doesn't take 3.5 hours to play anymore. But what was most interesting about it is you got to pick these career cards. And everyone in that game picks these career cards based on what the stated salary is. And I found my daughter, who's 9, she picked the career card that was the career that she wanted. She picked the fashion design card, but she became really unhappy with that because of the money in the game. And it opened up this whole conversation that we were having about how you shouldn't base your career alone off a salary. You should base it off of what makes you happy, what brings that passion. Because she's one of those kids that from day one, you knew she's going to do something in the arts. And I don't see that changing. So when you say, you know, all these boys want to go into engineering, is it because they know that there's jobs, there's good salaries, but without passion for that career or the education that's going to help support it and kind of ignite that passion, it's kind of like the game of life.
Exactly. We all know that when we do something we like, we're successful. And that can be the simplest thing in our daily living activities to your career choice. If we like it and we're passionate, we will be successful. And that could be in a financial, that could be in giving it back to the community, what that entails for you. And I think right now high schools are very busy. I think what we need to do is really take some time each student to be able to explore what types of professions are out there and do a lot of shadowing. And that takes time and it takes resources of the idea of just to go out and say, hey, I would really like to be a nurse. Well, once that child gets in to be a CNA, let's say a certified nursing assistant, or volunteers at the local nursing home, do they like the setting? And has that changed for them? And I think to really provide some real-life situations is good, volunteer opportunities. So when I hear students right now to say, I like a field, I really encourage them to volunteer somewhere, to shadow people, to really kind of go out there and say, what does that entail? I also like to do personality tests, real simple personality tests, very simple compared to the Myers-Briggs that we used to do back then. But the idea of just showing them their strengths and weaknesses and to then to capitalize on, this is a strength of yours. Like you mentioned, your daughter, arts, you knew that from day one. As parents or people that know children, we can kind of tell they're more the mathematical brain. How are they way of thinking? And then really to say that you've been given this gift, this what makes you now where and what career, what major or what school would you be like to go down that path? I'd like to also give kids, there's too much pressure right now. So when the idea is that when we were younger, we would have to decide, you know, our sophomore year of what do our general eds the first couple years of college and then can decide to declare a major. Unfortunately, now it is ideally and financially wise to pick the right major or the right school to go into because it does take time to switch. Transfer credits might not, or you might be going a little bit longer than the 4-year planned. And so I'd like to do some of this research to at least get them on the right path. If it's something down the medical lines, maybe we don't know what type of medicine yet, or, you know, if it's going to be an occupational therapist, all the way to a nurse or a PA or a physician. Or is it more the engineering track? Is it, do you like chemical, mechanical, or do you like architectural engineering? And to go down that path. Or is it, you know, I'm a liberal arts. I love psychology, but I don't know what I want to do with that. And I want children to, students, to really be able to know they can explore, but also kind of be a little narrow in the same time.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with Robin in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel. My guest today is Robin Goldberg from the Beyond College Consulting. Robin is here today sharing some insights with us into the college admission landscape and what that can look like for our kids that are even just starting the high school process. Robin, in our previous segment, you had mentioned just how different things have become in the college admission world and how when you and I went to college, we could take those general education credits our freshman, our sophomore year, and really start to narrow in more on our major, junior, and sometimes even senior year, essentially. But you're seeing a change in that.
I am. And it's good and bad. What I'm seeing the mostly is that they're making it, colleges majority, I don't mean to generalize, but majority of universities are making it very difficult to be able to switch a major or a school within their university after freshman year. I will give an example. My daughter declared psychology as a major, and by 6 weeks into her freshman year, decided elementary education. She was already 2 classes behind. So that then, to play catch up, to get those prerequisites, to get in the school, change to a college of education, was very difficult and required some skill set to be able to do that. What is happening is that when you walk into a university right now, they have it pretty organized of what you need to take to stay on the path of a 4-year degree. Now, I'm not saying you're not able to with between J-term classes or summer or taking a 5th year, and that is very acceptable. But to be financially sound and to make it the right decisions, really to walk in, you need to stay roughly about in the same school within that university. I feel sad for students that like to change. I do encourage them to change if they're not happy because I do think they need that exploratory time. They need to know that it is okay and a 5th year is okay, but to be successful later in life. But right now, the trend is colleges are getting you into that school and making it very difficult to transfer majors. Other trends. It's very interesting. The college trend between now and the next 2 to 3 years is a very interesting roller coaster ride. I mentioned that pandemic really changed things. And the one thing they changed was this optional for ACT-SAT score. I've heard more parents say, well, it's optional, so I'm not going to submit it. 93% of universities today are saying that the ACT-SAT score is optional in their admission process. Unfortunately, that is not should not be the case in with most student submissions. What I mean about that is that if a student falls above the 50th percentile in a college freshman class per their like GPA grades, then they should submit an ACT-SAT score. It is only optional for some universities based on how their GPA is correlated to what type of student they are. I suggest that right now that every student, for instance, takes the ACT or the SAT seriously and tries and not acts like said optional to see where they fall and to see then if that with some guidance if they should submit that score or not in their admission application. So for instance, in 2022, 47% of applicants submitted a standard test score compared to 78% in 21. And that is leaving universities with a lot of unknown. They don't know how right now as a measurable what to look at when they're looking at an application. If they have some scores, some not. And what they're all trying to do, majorities of universities, is waiting to gather the data and look at graduation retention rates. Is the same student that does not submit a score graduating to the same student that submitted a score, what kind of rates is that? And that will all determine. So right now, I'm very fond of the student taking the test and proceeding forward and seeing how that goes for them.
That's really interesting to hear, Robin, because I have mostly just heard that it is optional. And when it's optional, I'm hearing from parents, from students that they're not taking the test, they're not submitting the test. No one likes taking those standardized tests, or I should say very few people like taking those standardized tests. But it sounds like it really is that differentiator that is helping the college admission process determine who is getting those spots when there's maybe kids that kind of all fall into the same range.
Exactly. If you had a 4.0 GPA student that did not submit a score, that a university is going to wonder why. If you had a low-performing GPA student that did not perform did not send a score, then they understand that that student has gifts in other directions, maybe in the arts, sports, and they're just not academically performing in that direction. So yes, that is something that you really consider as a myth. What's happened also, another myth, is that the application volume has just increased because of the optional tests, standardized tests. Now everybody on the common application can just put submit. And the 2022 submission rate for the college applications, it was up 7.5% from previous years, which means that students that one might not apply to university because they did not meet that standardized test score, they're just pushing click anyways because they think that maybe there's a chance I could potentially get in and play the game of not submitting a score. So, for example, Auburn University admission rate dropped 85% to 24% in 22 admission cycle. So what I mean by that is that they had all these applicants, but their admission rate of what students they took dropped down to 24%. So high competition students with a high increased application volume is what's happening right now. So the most qualified student cannot assume that they're going to get admitted into a safety school or be guaranteed anymore an offer of admission. We used to hear, like I said at the beginning, a reach school or a safety school. And right now, there is no safety school. You might think, oh, well, I for sure will get into that university and be denied, but then get accepted into a university that you didn't think you had. So it's an unpredictable time regarding that trend.
Thanks, Robin. We will be back with more from Robin at Beyond College Consulting after a short break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel. My guest today is Robin Goldberg from Beyond College Consulting. Robin has been talking to us today about the changing landscape of the college application process and how you can help your kids, grandkids navigate that process through tools that Robin's able to provide through her consulting. Robin, before we took our last break, we were talking about the changing landscape and the trends that you were seeing. So you were seeing that SAT, ACT scores, they're really not optional, even though schools are saying that they are optional. What are some of the other trends that you're still seeing?
In the application process, you will see different deadlines. One is early action, one is early decision, and one is regular decision. Usually early action for university means that you're getting the application submitted by November 1st. Regular decision is anywhere sometimes in January, February. It has been known over the last couple of years to definitely try to get the application, college application, in by November 1st, early action. It sets you at the beginning. It means that you're serious, that you really like that school and have interest. Well, the new trend now is early decision. Yes, early decision has been around for a while. What that means is it's a binding decision, which means I really want to go to X university. And no matter what, if I get accepted, I will be going there. It's binding. The negative with an early decision, which most people do not like, and very understandably, is that when it is, you have to be binding no matter if you know the financial package, what that university is going to give you. So you are saying, yes, that I will go no matter what scholarship money, financial aid they will give me to attend that university. The new, it's just starting this year, is early decision two. Which means playing the game with applications in, if I really want to go to X school, and it's okay, depending on all the factors, applying early decision, then applying to Y school, early decision two, and then several schools as early action. So I didn't get into X school, early decision one. So that puts me into the pool for early decision two at Y school. I still did not get in, but then I still have all the other schools in early action that I applied for. Or I got in my first one, or I got in my second one. So as you can see, it's a game. It's kind of maneuvering based on all the factors of that student, what their interest is, and how it all the fit, looking at their financial and academic interests and how to always kind of play into. And that is something new, is to really be strategic on that. What also is the term deferment. It is now being widely used in universities. University of Wisconsin-Madison just reported that they deferred 17,000 of its 45,000 early action applicants in 2022 cycle. And what they're looking at is they're looking at all the type of students. So they're deferring them. Then they're going back once they've got their pool of students that have applied and going through and seeing what are their needs in each of the colleges, and based on what their statistic numbers are and looking at the type of students. So that is something that's very well known, is for a student to be deferred, which means then they will give them a date of when they will know by, usually it's sometime in March or April, that they either got off the deferment, they either accepted, have been rejected, or they will be waitlisted further into the later spring, summer months. Another trend that is really an unknown area right now is the ChatGPT. We're hearing a lot about it, of the AI world right now, as we're all facing. And some changes with the college application will be coming down the road. It's unknown right now. But we do know that essays can potentially be written to some extent with the ChatGPT. And that is something that the colleges are taking very seriously. There is software to see if a college essay was written by AI. And so different parameters and are being implemented this year and will be coming down for further application years as the AI world expands. So we're seeing a lot more universities wanting to submit like a video essay versus a written essay. And I see that a trend in the next couple of years as well that we need to be aware of.
So that's really interesting because you're right, AI is something that we're hearing about every day. I hadn't thought about the application process and how it could impact that. So you had shared with me personally, Robin, because you and I sat down yesterday with my oldest, who's entering his freshman year of high school, that at this point, the goal is really to make yourself stand out and to be as unique as you can as it pertains to those college admission essays. But what about the things that incoming freshmen or even sophomores, what should they be focusing on now to keep as many doors open, as many possibilities open to them for the college application process?
Because we talked earlier about the optional standardized testing, schools really have to look at many, many different aspects of a student. So the ideal student has to have a well-rounded, diverse background in their portfolio. A student now needs, quote, quote, a resume, a student profile of what makes them up. So, for instance, I really want to work with a student and understanding that they need to look at all parts of themselves and how what makes them important in the community and to themselves uniquely. For example, not only are we looking at grades and how they can really foster the best work they can do and the type of classes regarding themselves and their intellect, but number two is their involvement. Is there school involvement in sports? Clubs. Where can they expand themselves, put themselves out there, challenge themselves to be a part of a club? And now if they are a part of a school club, what do they do in that club? Are they using that club to the fullest that they can? Are they showing themselves that I am putting one step in front of the other? Am I just a passive participant, or am I taking on challenges and trying to be an active participant in a club? And the clubs doesn't matter what the name is. It's just what kind of active role they are. The second thing is leadership. Where do they show leadership in the world? Are they a leader in their community? Are they a leader in a club? Are they a leader in a sport? But where are they challenging themselves to be a leader? We all can be leaders. It's just how we do it within ourselves and our own unique personality. Another area is community service. How do they give back to the community? Are they doing something to help others in our community? And colleges really, really focus on that as well. A college does not want to see that you were involved for a club for 1 year or a four-hour session. They want to know that you showed loyalty, you showed passion, you showed interest in what you did within that club. So when you mentioned, I love to meet with rising freshmen and sophomores to really understand when you walk into high school or you walk into now your sophomore year after the unknown of being a freshman in high school, where can you make a difference in school? What part of the high school do you like to be in and where can you be involved in? Now, not all students can be involved. They have other things after school. For instance, taking care of siblings, working, and that is very important too. Taking care of grandma, an elderly person. Those all can be written in a college application, and they're just as important as being involved in a club. And it shows their work ethic. It shows their loyalty. It shows a student's responsibility and how they follow a structured, organized work ethic into our community.
That community involvement is huge too. And as you were saying that, Robin, the thought came to me that it takes a village. And when I was sitting down with you yesterday and my oldest, that's what kind of hit me is, wow, this landscape has changed so dramatically. I'm so thankful that I have Robin to come alongside and partner with us on this, because I think it came across yesterday to my son that it gets real now. It starts his freshman year, but he needs to start thinking about all of those things and positioning himself to have those opportunities when it comes to school. So when you do start working with these kids younger, you know, freshmen, sophomore, as they're figuring out what really makes them special, how they build out that resume about them, how do you then translate that to helping them figure out what colleges are going to be the best fit academically and socially and financially?
Exactly. And that's going back to your son, it's really good to sit down and say, what do you want to do in high school? Are you going down the soccer route, or are you going down the drama route? Are you going down the student senate route? And to really talk to him about how this is important to be involved early on. Now, a rising senior that had been involved, that's okay as well. But I think it's real important to get to these kids to understand, hey, I want to get to this X school, and how do I get there? And that journey takes some time. So the fit I spent a lot of time on. I feel it is part of the a pie. I kind of divide it up. And really getting the goals. What is a parent's goals? What is a student's goals? Now, grant, sometimes you're talking to a 14, 16-year-old, 17-year-old. They don't know, but you can really learn about their personality by really sitting down with them over a table at a coffee shop and getting to know them, their interests, their passions. What are they liking? What do they gravitate towards? So you can kind of understand socially what type of school are they interested in. You get mom and dad's goals. Are they somebody that we would like to stay drivable, 2-hour drivable? Or are we okay to go to a school that we can be a direct flight? Do we want in-state tuition, out-of-state tuition? And kind of talking through that a little bit. We talked a little bit about academic goals. Do we want to be a big fish in a little pond, or a small fish in a big pond? And how you can make yourself, are you going to a large university, and where can you find your spot versus a small school? It's hard to make bigger into a bigger school, and what kind of things are important to them. Game day, is it real important to experience a Saturday football game, or that's not really a priority to you? You enjoy other opportunities, culture around the area. I have a big survey that I have the kids do, and as well as the parents, and we really talk about, go through that and see what the goals match up and see, okay, where are we at? I encourage college visits from anything very local. We have wonderful local universities right here in our Milwaukee area, to even driving just as 2 hours away. Now, they might not say, I'm not interested in those universities, but it's really important to go on a pretty fall, spring day when the students are walking around to see, I like this school because of this aspect, or I don't because of this aspect. I tell my students to text me right after a college tour. Their first reactions are the words. I want you to text me what you thought. What was your first reaction? I'll never forget, I had a student that went to Northwestern, went to their campus tour, sat there during the campus tour, looked around and says, oh my goodness, this boy next to me had the chemistry tables on his shoes next to me. I don't think I fit in here. Now, I'm not saying that the child wouldn't have fit in, but he looked around and he really got a feel for the environment. And I think that tells a lot of their gut reactions.
Thanks, Robin. We'll be back after a short break. To Money Sense, I'm Christina Schnuckel. My guest today is Robin Gulberg from Beyond College Consulting. We were just talking with Robin about all the changing landscapes in the college application process and really what it means to be an independent college counselor, which I'm finding out is like having your own personal advocate for your kids through this college application process. Robin was talking about the best fit and how we figure out what schools really are appropriate to meet all the goals that our kids have as well as parents have. So Robin, share with us a little bit more on how you find the best fit for our families.
Well, I was just describing a little bit of getting to know and building a relationship with the student as well as the parents, and establishing goals of what each has. There is 2,500 universities out in the United States to choose from. Beyond what we can imagine, there is a fit for everybody. So when I hear the comment, oh, I'm not sure my child should go to college, I always ask a student, why do you say that? Because I feel there is a college for everybody out there. We look at the academic, the social, and the financial. Is that university affordable to them? Does it make sense to go there per their degree? For instance, just an example, Notre Dame, you would not go for early elementary ed, nor do they have that major. It would not be financially sound in attending that school. A lot of private schools do give merit scholarship. I really don't want people to dismiss looking at the wonderful private schools we have. So really deciding public, private. Is there going to be financial loans, merit scholarships? The location of the school, the size of the school, the accessibility of the school, diversity, equity, internship, research opportunities? What is the university's graduation rates, employment rates, and the safety of the school? So when I look at fit, each student will tell me different things. One student will tell me they're really excited about the new dorms. They want to stay in a new dorm. One mom will tell me, I want the school to be in a very safe area versus an urban city. Everybody has their own unique requirement that's important to them in finding the right fit of a school for them.
So, Robin, you touched on the financial fit, because obviously that has to be taken into consideration. Just with your example of Notre Dame, of going to that school, that may be out of reach for a lot of families financially if there aren't scholarships or whatnot available. How do you help families navigate the financial aid landscape with college, and even, you know, processing that FAFSA application that as a parent kind of gives us cold chills when we know that we're going to have to start putting that information together?
Yes, the word FAFSA is just a scary word. Everybody is like, no, do I have to do that, or I'll never get any financial assistance, so I'm not going to fill out the FAFSA. I encourage everyone to fill out the FAFSA. We need to fill that out for any merit scholarship, majority of merit scholarships, as well as if there's any scholarship opportunities. We don't know with changing times what's going to happen in a couple months. So maybe the student will need to end up applying for a loan. So it's very important to have to complete that FAFSA. This year, the FAFSA has changed. It's always deadline of coming out October 1st. This year, it's coming out December 1st. And the reason for that is they're simplifying it. The government has been working on the last 2 years simplifying the FAFSA. The questions have been reduced from 108 questions that it used to be to now 46 questions. So you're going to find by filling it out, if you've done it in the past, it is going to be a lot simplified and a lot easier to fill out. One thing is when you do fill out, you need everything right there with you. That's the biggest thing I say when you fill out the FAFSA is your organization. Have the last couple of years of tax returns right in front of you. Pay stubs. Have any information of child support, anything of income, have that right there. The minute you have it there, then it will be easy access and you'll be able to they talk you through and input that information. I also really suggest you talking to your financial aid advisor about the FAFSA. If you have any questions, should I put that income down? Where does this go? Find out the answers. Don't just put it there thinking, it might not make a difference. It does make a difference. So really search out if you have any questions. And there's a lot of resources. If you look up the Wisconsin FAFSA, of places to go to ask questions, as well as your financial advisors. More data this year of the new FAFSA is going to be transferred from the IRS. So with us filling out less questions, the reduction, now the IRS is going to be able to implement the records will go back and forth. I'm excited to see this new FAFSA. I have sat down with parents and really helped them through the 108 questions. So I'm intrigued when it does come out this fall. I think it's going to be unknown to a lot of people, but I encourage everyone to do it so that you have it on file just in case you do need to use those resources for any type of federal student loan. Other things is there's lots of scholarship opportunities, not only in individual university opportunities for scholarships, schools, communities, and majority of these scholarships are untouched. So I like to be creative and help students if they had an interest in whatever aspect to see if there's a scholarship out there. I have twins. We applied for twin scholarships and they did get some. The scholarships add up. There's not a number you are a max number of scholarships you can obtain. So you apply for a lot of different ones. Does it create more work on the student? Yes. It creates them to more essay writing. By that time, they're tired after their college essay. But I will tell you, it's very, very beneficial to be creative in what scholarships to apply for and to really do the research and finding them.
Robin, this information today has been so helpful. I see such a large application for what you do and how you can help families above and beyond the resources that their high schools might offer through their guidance counselor of working with families. So thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your passion with us today. So if you have questions for Robin, her website is beyondcollegeconsulting.com.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about EIG and our upcoming events, please visit ellenbecker.com or call us at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope we've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. If you enjoyed our program today with Robin, please join us for a complimentary seminar on October 10th at 5:30 to 7 p.m. at our Waukesha office, where Robin is going to be talking about all the stuff that we heard today on the program, as well as how to navigate the changing college admission process and setting your high school student up for a successful college career. To RSVP for the seminar, please head to ellenbecker.com.